Well, it's just been hard for me to get away from the thinking that we can be and we are beautiful to the Lord. We are His bride. And with His great perfection and His great holiness and His great love and great mercy, we're made in His likeness. He comes and lives in the body of every believer. And the Bible says we become His bride, we become His body. And I was just thinking, as you all were singing there, you know, Satan, Job, God came to Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him." I think that the Lord Jesus comes by and said, "Have you considered, Satan, have you considered my bride? There's none like her. She's the pearl of great price. Come here, Satan. I want to introduce you to my beautiful, to my bride, to my blessed, to my better." The Bible says over there of the three Hebrew children, they were 10 times better than the astrologers and soothsayers off in Babylon. And we, Christ's bride, is 10 times better than all the rest of this world. We're His best. And He said to that one that came back, the prodigal, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." I'm telling you, we are a beautiful bride. We are adorned with the best robe, the robe of righteousness. Have you considered my love? Have you considered my honey? Amen. Well, we say that often to our wife. Think about Brother Lynch. Boy, he came in Sunday morning just to beam, and his wife finally got here for Easter. And my Jesus is so delighted with His bride. None of us can be more delighted with our wife, our spouse, than Christ is with His church. He's the head and we're the bridegroom. We're His body. I'm telling you, He's very well pleased with His body. Upon this rock we said this morning, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are precious to the Lord. You couldn't say anything nicer to your wife than Christ would say of His church. Come here, precious. Amen. Come here, my spouse, in the Song of Solomon. My joy and my crown. My faithful, over there in Timothy, tells us of the requirements of a bishop. And she's to be faithful. And we are His faithful spouse, His faithful bride, His faithful body. That's not all we are. Over in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we are His garden. He's the husbandman. We're the garden. So we're His garden. He's the farmer, and we're His garden. He's the shepherd, and we're the sheep of His pasture. And He protects us and guides us and takes us all the way through. As our brother Lynch mentioned, he could have got hurt pretty badly or killed. And the Lord watches out for His sheep. You won't go out of here until He's ready to take you. And then He plucks His little roses from His garden as He pleases. In His own time. You are invincible until God is through with you. You are His possession. My faith, my trust, my pleasant one, my sheep. Hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. We're the sheep of His pasture. We are beautiful to the Lord. Turn with me over to 2 Samuel 1, 19 and 23. 2 Samuel We're just about here. We're not quite there yet. I'm in Song of Solomon with my reading. But in our family devotions, we're over in Samuel. We're almost to this place. We're finishing up 1 Samuel. I hope you're somewhere in your family devotions. Now, cheer up. My job is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long-suffering. Some of you are newly married here. Do you have devotions with your wife every day, family devotions? If not, start tonight or tomorrow morning. And just do it all your life. You say we're too busy. That's absolutely true. You are absolutely too busy. If you don't have time to read and pray and with your wife, your spouse, your joy. Amen. We've been doing it for 30-some years now, 36, 37 years, having family devotions. I didn't have to have it preached to me over and over and over again. I wanted to serve God in the best way I could, and I said, I'm going to start. Now, there were times when we slacked off a little here or there. We had to, you know, start again, and or just we never really quit, ever, never. In 36 years, I've been saved 43 years, 44 years, and we've been married about 37, 38 years. Wow, we've been having family devotions for 38 years, longer than most of you have lived. Try it. You'll like it. Business will pick up in your soul. Your children ought to see a praying father, a praying mother. And before God gives you children, you ought to be praying. And as the Lord allows your wife to carry a baby, you ought to pray for that baby before it's born. They say you ought to even sing to it in the womb, and it helps the child in the womb. I don't know anything about that. I know one thing. We ought to sing and praise God and have devotions and pray. And then your personal devotions. Do you read and pray all the time? The lover of your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting for you to come to that prayer time. He's longing to fellowship with his bride. The head wants to get together with the body. Amen? We are his body. And so we ought to just be thankful that we can be something for his glory and get together with the Lord and in soul winning and in your prayer time. Over in 1 Samuel 1:19, maybe you've already found the place. It calls there, here Saul was just killed. And David was so patient with God, wasn't he? What Pastor Hammond said earlier is so true. Time waiting on God is not wasted time. Some of us run ahead. In my early walk with the Lord, I was always running ahead of the Lord. You get out in front of the Lord, you can't see him too well. You get kind of mixed up. Now, don't lag too far behind either. Just walk with God. And Enoch walked with God. And Noah walked with God. God was with him. Just walk with God. The light of his word. Look what it says here in verse 19, Saul had just died, and David says this, waiting for God to take him. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? The beauty of Israel, he called Saul. Now down to verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely. Come here, lovely. Come here, lovely. My wife, my spouse, I want to show you off to everybody. Like Ahasuerus wanted to do with Vashti, and she wouldn't come. So God replaced her with Esther. But our Savior is pleased with his bride. The right kind of husband wants to take time with his spouse, his love. Gets excited if they're parted from each other about getting back together with his bride. So don't be too long away from your Savior in the place of prayer, fellowship. Do you realize that 15 years ago, Walmart was not open in this town? Kmart was not open in this town. HEB grocery stores were not open in this town 15 years ago when we came here. And now, they're not just open, but most of them are open 24 hours a day. every day of the week. Was it not true last week, Sunday, Easter Sunday? I think Walmart was closed that day. We went over there. Was it closed? I think it was. We were so delighted. One day a year. They ought to be closed every day. Once a week, every day of the year. This is the Lord's Day. This is go to church meeting day, the Lord's Day, Sunday. It's a day we worship God. We give the whole day to God. One of seven belongs to God. They say, I want my money in my pocket. I don't care about God's day. Well, I'll tell you, they're going to meet God with it too. Germany, where the Reformation started, has more reverence for the day of God than we in America do. Pastor Magnuson died a couple years ago. He said, every nation that's forsaken God's day has paid a great price. It's true. It's true. They all said, oh, you can still, when they started open up on Sunday, they said, oh, you can still go to church, liars. Go tell them that now. 12, 15 years later. Go tell them now that they can get off on Sunday. Let's go to the bosses now. Even the banks are open on Sunday. In the grocery stores. What about these people? They can't go to church, friends. Wake up, America. Church, wake up! Do you realize our children, our grandchildren, will not be able to, when they come on the scene and they get to the place where they're 16, 17, 18 years old, and they should be allowed our men to work younger too. Sometimes they're taller than their father and can't even work a job. Sorry, wickedness. A man's got to work all his days. Why should they think that they let a man lay around until he's 16 years old and all of a sudden he's going to get excited about working? We're crazy in our thinking today. We're nuts in our brains. We've thrown the Bible to the wind and the principles of the Scripture to the wind and God's day to the wind. Our little boys, when they get a certain age, they're not even going to be able to get a job if they believe you shouldn't do certain things on Sunday. And you believe you should go to church on Sunday. And the U.S. Army ought to have some reverence for God's day too. Thought today as they asked us to leave the HEB before the church service, giving out some tracts, and I didn't have the time to waste on that fella. But I felt like saying, Herman E. Butts, HEB, he closed the HEB grocery stores, according to Brother Buhorn back there, who lived in San Antonio where H.E. Butts operated. They closed their grocery store on Wednesday so people could even go to church on Wednesday. Do you think it was open on Sunday? Of course not. Do you think they served alcohol, had beer in there? Of course not. He was a Christian. Do you think that Walmart had alcohol in it 20 years ago? No! Sam Walton said, no! No, no! And it won't be open on God's day either. And J.C. Penney was a Christian and tithed to the church. Then it was not open either. What does J.C. Penney's has to be, do to be open on the Lord's day? So more of these precious people that serve other people can't even go to church. Shame on their wicked carcass. They're going to meet God with disregarding his day. I thought to that young man, I didn't have time to tell him about Herman E. Butts, and I felt like saying, did you know something, young man? A few years ago, it was against the law for HEB to even be open on Sunday. Did you know that when they had blue laws? Hello? Did you realize that Killeen, 20 and 25 years ago, there was no alcohol here at all? It was a dry county. You couldn't get a bottle of beer in a 7-Eleven store. And it's still like that over there in Coryell County, over Copperas Cove, because someone did some preaching years ago. And it wasn't the fact you just couldn't get alcohol. Everything was closed on Sunday too. And they didn't have off-track betting back then. They didn't have the lottery. I get sick of every place you go, you see some huge billboard, $6 million. Don't they realize that gambling is against the family? And it's surely against the church. They ought to be thinking about writing that big check out for the organ, or paying the pastor's salary, or paying the light bill, or sending in missionaries to the foreign field. Not buying gambling tickets. Our extremely strong Baptist Texas voted it in. That's because there was no power in the church or in the pulpit. Weak people come from weak preaching and weak churches. I'm telling you, we're beautiful for God when we're strong in the things I'm talking about too. The Lord says, I'm glad Preacher Harvey is preaching on the importance of my day. There is something more important than the almighty dollar, and it's God and missions and the Bible and giving your money to God, your time to God, your life to God. And our children are not going to give their life to God because they're not going to be in the church houses. We meet them all the time and they haven't been in church at all. I met a fellow, Charles Anderson, over there at Warrior Way on Saturday, yesterday. Witness to him from Goldsboro, North Carolina. You talk about preaching going on. I preached all over that place. Preached there at the Central Baptist Church. Aubrey Jackson, the pastor. That fellow was right from there and he never went to church hardly. Boy, I tell you, his concern about the things of God was very, very minimal. No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to generate saving faith and serving faith, you're going to have some go to church time. And revivals are dying across our country. The evangelists cannot stay on the road anymore. The pastors want to have them 3 days. Now, we had a three-day meeting because God led us to have a three-day meeting, and all he asked for was a day. If he'd asked for a week, we'd have probably had him a week. I tried to help Brother Thompson out after that. I said, call some of these churches used to support you, and I'll write a letter for you. Amen? I'm telling you, he used to have $900 to $1,200 support when he was in evangelism. Gave it all up. Went and took that little church and stayed a year and a half. You can't hardly stay. Do you know how much, with our offering here, I think, with our offering, do you know how much he got this whole month? You try to pay for that, the things. He got a little over $700 with our offering for the whole month. I'd like to see you live on $700. Amen? That's with our offering. And our offering was $450 at least. We didn't have a whole lot to give him. But that was quite a bit for 3 days. But all the other churches and his trip to Mexico and everything. How do you live on $700 for a month? Not on the roads out here with the gas prices. I told him, I said, you go get a motel, and you can't get anything less than $40 for a motel, hardly at all, $35, $40. And it might be $60 to get a decent and clean one, a nice one. Man, you can't stay too long in any motel. Not on the road today, if you're not bringing in a lot of bucks. But praise God, when I called him last night, he said, brother, I've been calling some of my old churches and they did take on other missionaries, but they acted like they'd try to take me back on if they could. I said, good. So maybe we help Brother Thompson out a little bit. I said, I'll write a letter to all those churches and tell them that an evangelist can't hardly make it out there without some monthly support. I even told him, I said, if you can pray about it, you can even come with our mission and go out as a missionary. I'll tell you, if an evangelist does not get some missionary support today, at least $1,000 or $2,000 a month, he cannot make it today. Because he has to go to little churches, and some of those little churches don't have any money to even keep the pastor going, no less to get an evangelist going. But they can give their time. I'm telling you, God's church is beautiful to him, though. And whether you like Brother Thompson and his wife or not, they're his children, and they're beautiful to God. Amen? And he helped a few people here when he came. Those last two nights, we almost had more profitability in some people's lives the last two nights that didn't even know if we were going to have. You know, just do whatever God tells you to do. You can't listen to the people. You pray for the pastor. I'm not listening to the people. I'm going to listen to God. And God says, more preaching, more music, more praying. That's what God says. Not less, more, 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 more. More about Jesus. We need to be more beautiful for the Lord too. We're a beautiful bride. We're a beautiful body, a beautiful garden. We're a beautiful flock. We're a beautiful pearl of great price. We're a beautiful church, friends. I mean, we're in a beautiful church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. His body, His bride, we are beautiful. And we're His beautiful children too. That's not, we are the children of God. Amen? Amen. Over there in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We're His sons and daughters. We're in the family. And better. You know, it says in Hebrews that Christ and His way is better than the angels. And I want you to know something. We are better than the angels too. We're precious to the Lord. We're His bride. And then there's the better covenant and the better promises of God. Better. And then let me just give you that over in Daniel. Let me give you that in Daniel. Did we already go to those other verses there? I don't think we did. Let me give you those in 2 Samuel, then we'll go over there. Saul and Jonathan were lovely, lovely. Come here, lovely, and pleasant. Can your husband call you pleasant, dear lady friend? You ought to be pleasant. His bride is pleasant. They were pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions, and nothing is stronger than a lion. And how swift is an eagle? They were beautiful. Saul and Jonathan. And so Christ's church is beautiful. In Song of Solomon it says, how much better is thy love? But before we go there, go over to Daniel. Go to Daniel with me just one moment. Daniel chapter 1. I just want to give this to you because you... Though I mention it, I didn't read it. And sometimes you don't get the full impact of it all without reading it. Look at verse 20. Daniel 1, verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are called by the other Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, renamed. Thank God we've received a new name. I'm telling you, when I call over there once in a while, I talk to my son. His name is Samuel. And Samuel means asked of God. And I said, you tell Mr. Asked of God. See, every time they came up to Samuel, they said, how you doing, Samuel? The Lord be with you, Samuel. And they thought, asked of God, because that's what his name meant. Well, good to meet you, Mr. Asked of God. How you doing, Mr. Asked of God? It reminded him all the time that his mother had asked him from the Lord, and he was lent to the Lord all his days. The names are so important. Go to Solomon, Song of Solomon with me. Chapter 4, verse 10. But even in chapter 2, it says here, awake, now awake my love. And then over to chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon. I'm trying to tell you that we are important to the Lord. We are precious to the Lord. You might think, well, nobody cares anything about me. My husband's overseas. Everybody seems to forsake me. I'm not. These testimonies were great tonight, but still, the old devil can tell you all that junk. And here I am, all alone. And what did God do this for me for? What did I do to deserve this? I want you to know you're precious to God. You're greater loved of God than you are your husband, dear lady friend. And I hope His love for you is just as great can be. But my Jesus loves you more. His love is everlasting. His love is so pure and not a bit of selfishness in it. It's just wonderful. His love for us. Look what it says in Song of Solomon, verse 10, 4:10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop like honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And thy smell, the smell of thy garments, is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Oh, we smell good to God. We are precious to the Lord. It even says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He loves us with an everlasting love. And over in Hebrews, it says that they desire a better country. Well, I think we can say, come here, better. Come here, better. This is my wife, better. This is my bride, better. In fact, she's so better, she's best. Oh, yes. And then we can say, come here, fair. Jesus is the fairest of 10,000. But oh, is not his bride? Listen, they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. He's the bridegroom, and we're the bride. He's the head, and we're the body. Man, the head's connected to the body, friends. And we're in Christ, and every part of the body is important to the Lord. You be very careful how you treat another brother or sister in the Lord, though they be very illiterate in the Bible. If Christ lives in them, you need to treat them like you treat the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ liveth in them. You be kind and tender, loving. My delight, we could call her. Come here, delight. Come here, delight. It says, my delight is in her. Oh, she's beautiful. Maybe some around the house you'll be saying some nicer things to your wives, fellas. It wouldn't hurt you a bit. Amen. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm telling you, Ruth was beautiful, but my Savior was more beautiful. Brother David Williams, that song was beautiful this morning. You better use that voice for the Lord, son. I just thought that maybe God came in to sing to us this morning. It was so beautiful. But you better use that voice for God and only for God, or you'll pay a price too, amen? But it wasn't that beautiful this morning. Oh, I thought Jason Crossman could sing good, and then I heard you, son. And he did. He sings nicely. Amen? And he is in a good church. We heard he's in a good church down there. I'm going to call his pastor up. He's in a good church. His pastor's going through some hard times, and so I'm going to call him up and cheer him up a little bit. Oh, yes, if you're true to the Word of God and true to the things of God, you're going to have some hard times. You're going to go through some real rough waters, but the Lord's with you. By the way, wherever God calls or guides, he provides. The Lord will take care of you. You don't forget that when that 70 came back to the Lord Jesus, he said, did you lack anything? Now, the Lord didn't just do that for their sake. He did that for our sake, to put it in his word. They said, no, we didn't lack anything. We did it the way you told us to do. We went to anyone's house, and whatever they put before us, we ate. We put the blessing of God upon it. If they didn't receive us, we dusted our feet off and said, judgment on you, we're going on. Amen? We didn't lack anything. When you do it God's way, you won't lack anything. He'll guide, he'll provide, he'll bless, he'll just pour out open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. My God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We think pretty big, don't we, sometimes? We ask pretty big sometimes. He can do exceeding abundantly above all who we ask or think. And we're His bride, and He will take care of us. Our problem is we get out from the umbrella of protection because we're in our old stinking flesh too much. And we think we can handle it all on our own. Well, the bride can't handle it on its own, and the body can't handle it on its own. The dumb sheep can't handle it on their own. Amen? The loving, kind wife can't handle it on her own. She needs her husband to provide for her, to protect her, to guide her, to encourage her, to strengthen her, to counsel her when she's crying and doesn't even know why she's crying. We don't do like that, do we, fellas? We usually know what, you know. Women, don't even compare them to us, fellas. We're strong. You know what I mean? No, we're weak. Without, you know, we're still dumb sheep, okay? Hello. You follow me? But sometimes we think, oh, big boy, I could take it on my own, not without the shepherd. You're not careful, you won't even add up the checkbook right. Have yourself in a mess. Think there's money in there, and instead of it being a couple $1,000 in there, it was a couple $100, and then all of a sudden you're in trouble as you write all those bum checks. We're so smart, aren't we? Huh? Well, honey, I wish you'd have told me. Well, you know it all anyhow. You don't let me touch the checkbook anyhow. Yes, honey, thank you for reminding me. I should have prayed before I did all this. I should have gotten in my closet. I missed prayer for 3 or 4 days. Didn't read my Bible right and didn't witness and give out tracts. Honey, I deserve every bit of it, but don't remind me of it, please. Amen? The best of us, we think we can handle it, and we cannot handle anything without our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He guides us, as we said this morning. It bears repeating. He guides us into good high grass, good green grass. And He guides us by the still waters. He restores our soul. And He protects us. What? A table before mine enemies? Oh, He anoints our head with oil. Oh, everything's all right in my Father's house. And we really don't have anything to worry about. Trouble with most of us is we're a bunch of worry warts. My own boy, David, called the other day, and he said, boy, the Harveys, he said, the Chapmans, that's Lisa Chapman, his wife, the Chapmans, they have their problems, and then the Harveys have their problems. Said, we're a bunch of worry warts. I don't know if he included the old man or not, but some of the others, the girls do worry a little bit. I'm waiting for the amen to come. Well, what do we have to worry about? Our Heavenly Father loves us. He'll care for us. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. He'll lead us through the vultures out there ready to come down and tear us to pieces. And the wolves are ready to get us, but we're all right. Amen. In fact, that's what Paul said under inspiration. He said, by the way, the other one is, look at verse 16 here in 4:16. 4:16 of Song of Solomon, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. We're God's garden. We're his beloved. Come here, my beloved. See, our job is husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Be tender towards your wives. They don't know why they're having a problem. They're just having a problem. The devil's after the weaker vessel, wouldn't you think? He'd pounce on the weaker vessel more than he would us, we're just stronger, aren't we, fellas? We know it too, don't we? Huh? I mean, I just wished I could have just picked that up with one hand, you know? And show you the strength of a man. But we're stronger than the women. And we're stronger emotionally
Stronger. All. That's why it's so dangerous for our wives to be out in the workforce, fellas. I don't care what you've been taught in California or in Georgia, or I don't care where you've been taught. The Bible says that women are to be keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And it's not good for women to be out there in the workforce because there's too many vulturous men out there. Don't tell me about it. Go ask my mother when my sisters went out in the workforce. Ask me when Julie became 16 and we let her go out there to be a little waitress at the place. And at that time, they had smoke all over the place. She couldn't hardly breathe. You protect her all the way up till she can make money. And then if you're not careful and you put her out in the workforce with all these vulturous people just to make money, she went to another place and a little restaurant there. I said, just bring her home. We protected her all this. I don't care if she never makes another dollar in her life. We'll just tough it out. Now, we didn't say that with the boys. Get out and get at it. Amen. But the girls are weak. Our homes are falling apart in America. We're putting absolutely too much pressure on our girls. They can't take it. They weren't made to take it. Girls are supposed to be homebodies, cleaning the house, taking care of their man. And until they get their man, taking care of their father. Amen? And Lucy and Mrs. Lucy said, amen, amen, amen. Oh. And according to the testimony, Brother Lightsey, you're to be working for your wife now. So until you get another job, son. I just thought I'd inform the sergeant major, the retired sergeant major. Amen. Amen. He's been working for her. She's bought and paid for and still paying. Amen. Amen. Aren't women expensive? Hey, you just compare when you were single and all the money you had in your pocket, and then all of a sudden you got married. Whoa! Business is picking up in your love life and your sweetness, and you have someone to talk to, but she knows how to use money too. Wait a minute, girl. Did your mother or father ever teach you that? No, you can't have the checkbook for at least 3 years. some of them are more sensible than we men about that, so don't laugh too hard, some of you. The boys were never taught anything either. I have never regretted my father teaching me to be careful with money. I don't know what that's got to do with the sermon tonight, but it's got a lot to do with the way we're living in America. When I got married, I pinched a penny. A penny, you could buy four or five little pieces of candy for a penny then, okay? But I'm telling you, I'm talking about candy. You could buy, for a nickel, you could buy a big Three Musketeer bar that broke into three places. I mean, for a nickel. The only trouble is nobody had the nickel. Amen. But when I got one, man, and I got me that Three Musketeer bar. But my father, when I got married, I pinched every penny 4 or 5 times before I let it go. And I never went past a penny sitting down there and I didn't pick it up. A penny. Didn't have to be a $20 bill. We didn't see many 20s back in that time. My father only made $100 a week and that was good pay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see too many tens. I never saw any hundreds. That was the rich people had those things in 50s and hundreds. Oh. But doesn't the Lord love even his bride, even if they haven't been trained right in regard to handling their money? Isn't the Lord merciful? Isn't he kind to his bride? Isn't he long-suffering with his bride? Isn't he kind to his bride? Doesn't he speak tenderly toward her and not bitterly toward her? Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Here's what he calls her, my love. My love. My fair, my love. My garden. And then I've got to show you this last one and we'll be through, Lord willing. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1.
I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. She's our honey too. And we're the honey to God. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly. O my beloved. There's another one. My honey and my beloved. My beloved. We're loved of the Lord. We're greatly loved of God. And so, may we just thank the Lord. Aren't you glad? Don't we want to be more beautiful to the Lord? Don't we want to be better for the Lord? Don't we want to be the best Christian we can be for the Lord? Don't we want to be lovely to Christ and more lovely to Christ and more beloved of Christ if we could be that? For He's unchangeable. He's not fickle like us. He's faithful. He's unchangeable. He's immutable. Oh, may we just want to be more. And then I brought that out this morning. Some of you weren't here. But how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel? I don't know that it says anything about our hands being beautiful. It does speak about the woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. She strengthens her arms and works with her hands and the sews and everything. But, you know, it really talks a lot about having beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel? You know why? Because that's the last thing Jesus said before He went to heaven. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Oswald J. Smith says, go yourself or send a substitute. Get your checkbook and your pocketbook out and get given to missions like you ought to. And quit being so selfish. For Christ's bride is a loving bride. And she's a merciful bride, a kind bride, and a caring bride. And she's concerned about the heathen who are lost and on their way to hell without the knowledge of the Savior and without Bibles, so many countries. Our Father and our God, we love Thee, thank Thee for Thy Word. I pray that we'd be more beautiful to Thee. We'd realize the beauty of the house of God as we got on that even tonight. Dear Lord, as some of us, if we're not careful, will be encouraged of the devil to forsake the house of God in the days ahead. May we not listen to him. May we not listen to him. The devil or the devil's children, when they would try to encourage us to do wrong, to forsake the house of God or the book of God, the fellowship of God's children, the place of prayer, the place of witnessing and soul winning. Please help us, Lord. And if there's one without Christ, bring them to thyself, we pray.